Hi, and welcome to Step In Mom Podcast, the show that has a bigger purpose than just talking about blended family struggles and parenting.
Hi, Patricia. Thank you so much for being here and with my patience with my messed up earlier. But you are here, and you know what? When you contacted me to be on my podcast, I was like, oh, this is some kind of miracle or some kind of sign. Because I was looking into Feng Shui for some time, and I was like, I need to find out more. And then Amazing. You reach out. So I want to welcome you, I want to welcome Patricia Dohan from Powerhouse. And you know what? I think we all have some kind of idea what Feng Shui is. Mm-hmm. And I thought like, yeah, I know what it is. And then I start looking into it and like, oh yeah, I don't. No.
I know. And I think that, you know, thank you so much for that lovely introduction. And I'm so glad that, you know, it resonated, and also that, you know, that you are interested in it, because that's where it all starts. And I think everybody inherently has a kind of call to create a sanctuary in a home that feels good for themselves, and they're not really sure how to do that. And obviously Feng Shui is an ancient practice. It's been around for 5,000 years, and it's been changed and has evolved over those years from being really around landform to being how the energetics of the house are balanced in harmony. And that when the energetics of your home are in harmony and the environment that you're in is balanced, that everybody in the house who lives in the house will also feel this sense of flow. So Feng Shui is, I like to describe it as acupuncture for your home. So every part of your home represents a different part of your life. And essentially, you know, there's parts of your life that might be out of balance. And what we do is we want to bring it into balance. And there may be, and it's a mirror with your home. So obviously when you move into your house, or people might be listening back, well, like, I've walked into a room or a house that's all felt a bit weird. Or when I moved into this house, something kind of things started to not go the way I wanted, or I've seen so much success since I moved into this house, because every house has its own individual energy. And that's something I really love teaching people, because we often just think, well, a house, a house. And it's not the case. Every house has its own, you know, unique energy, just like every person.
No, I really get that, because I don't know if I'm like more sensitive to certain energies or stuff, because I can walk into a room and I was like, this doesn't work. You know, this setting doesn't work, or this is something off. And, you know, especially because I'm originally from the Czech Republic, and we, you know, the living situations are a little bit different, like the houses or the way we live is different compared to here. And I feel like a lot of homes in the UK are kind of like nearly abused by, you know, the tenants or landlords or owners. And they kind of like, you move into your home, like in your home, and it's like, oh, there's a lot of work to do, you know, because there's a, you know, wonky walls or cracks, and you just kind of like don't know what to do, like where to start, like how to kind of create the energy, your energy, or like your home, because like everything needs to be fixed, or a lot of things need to be fixed. And I watched one of your reels about money and about how if you have a leak or crack, something is broken, you had to go and find it and fix it. And my friends thought like, our home is one big crack. You know? And I find it can be, for me personally, when I start looking into, you know, the energies and Feng Shui, I was like, this is overwhelming. And I found it really hard not to be skeptical or pessimistic, because I feel like there's a lot of things to be done. You know, there's a lot, like, how do we overcome the first, like, where do I even start to create the harmony I want?
So I think the first thing is that, you know, Feng Shui has many, many layers, and it's not about doing it all at the one time. And one of the things that I always say to my clients is, you know, you just have to start with an open heart and a desire to create a harmonious home, and then you'll just be guided with like the with what needs to be done. And whether it's a big long list, like, you're not going anywhere, like, it's your home. You know, you're not going anywhere, and just take it as part of the journey of life. Like, we're always learning, we're always growing as persons, we're always, you know, evolving and changing, hopefully. And that's what it is. It's a journey with the energy of your house. And, you know, wanting to improve it is an amazing start. And I say to people also, is just the awareness that your house does have an energy is really important. Because, you know, you said at the beginning, you just mentioned about people like taking their houses for granted and not looking after them. And then you'll look at their life, and their life may be like that as well. Maybe they don't look after themselves, maybe they don't care for themselves. And then you're like, well, it's a mirror. So the first step is acknowledging that your house has an energy and it's impacting you. And the second thing is then just taking, you know, you talked about leaks and things that are broken, and that's a great first step to just literally be like, okay, I'm going to look at the leaks. I'm going to fix them. And that, like, you know, everything is symbolic when it comes to feng shui. So water element is associated with abundance and prosperity. So, you know, if you have financial issues or financial things not going the way that you'd like to since you moved into your house, and then you have a lot of leaks. Well, I would be like, well, fix the leaks, because that's money dripping away. So let's like fix that. But I would say also, you know, not to take it so seriously, you know, not to take it like it's like, oh my God, I have a leak and I'll never have any money. Like, every house has its own energy imprint, and it's all fixable, and it's all, you can balance and harmonize every single home. Like, that's what I do. That's why people hire me. That's why there's feng shui. So it's all fixable, and it's just taking one step at a time is really important. And, you know, then you can find the next thing, you know. And I think the other part that's been really important to recognize is that feng shui is not about the most aesthetically beautiful house. So some people, you may come into your house and be like, you might have an old kitchen or an old bathroom, or, you know, the carpet mightn't be brand new or perfect. That's not bad feng shui. Like, an old, something that's old is not bad feng shui. Like, if it functions and it works fine, and, you know, it may not be your dream kitchen, but that's not, nothing to do with feng shui. You know, that's just your own personal preference. So, like, I see people who come in and they think that my feng shui house needs to be out of Pinterest or out of Instagram or some kind of interior design magazine. I'm like, no, I have feng shui houses like that, and they are terrible feng shui. The aesthetics doesn't actually matter. It's like, if it's functioning and working fine, it's good. So it's about like leaning out of the looking for, striving for the perfect home. That's not what feng shui is about. It is about having a home that functions well and that things work. And, you know, so if your bed is broken and you're sleeping on a broken bed, get that fixed. You know, that's, it's not functioning, or the washing machine, or, you know, the things that are not working, get those fixed, because they are going to be depleting the energy. But don't overthink the aesthetics. It's about the energetics of the house. So when we say about, when I talk to clients about coming into their homes and looking around, that is really a practice that I think is so powerful, is just becoming aware of your environment. You know, if you do go and you come in and you like get upset that your carpet is old, well, have you ever thought about what the new carpet was going to look like? Can you start like future envisioning what your new house is going to be like, the vision of how you'd like it to look, and then start to get excited about that. Start to be grateful that you have a house. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of, it's a very, there's a lack mindset when we start feeling like, oh, my house is this, it's not that, it's not as perfect as the neighbors and all that. That's not feng shui. Feng shui is about everyone sleeping well, everyone getting on well. There's abundance of money. It feels good. Like, that's, it's like a home. It's not about perfection. So I hope that that helps people realize that what we're trying to achieve here is about balance and harmony. It's not about perfect like magazine houses. And if you want that, go for it. Like, if that's what you want your house to look like, amazing. But don't be put off by if your house doesn't look that you can't feng shui it, like, you can.
Mm. Oh, I love this. I love this so much, especially when you said reaction on my thing when the people, you know, don't look properly after their houses, which I find it really hard to process still after many years in the UK. And it is really true, because that's not even just this is here in the UK. You know, if I look at it in Czech, yeah, it's the same thing. If you don't want to look after your house, you don't look after your house, whatever the reasons are. If it is financially or mentally, you're not there, or you struggle physically, mentally, whatever, you know. And I think it's just like the way I grew up was always like looking after it. Like, you don't just patch up things, you fix it properly. You know, you don't just take those, you know, the duct tape and tape it. Or you're just fixing it properly. And it just makes so much sense that what you said is looking after things, like taking care of things. And this is so important, especially these days. It's just like everything, like fast fashion, everything, you know, the home designs, everything like come and goes, and people, you know, I can see it's sometimes like, oh, I want this, I want that. And I'm quite mindful and, you know, a bit minimalistic with what I have in my house, because I get overwhelmed with clutter. I can't focus in clutter. Like, I can't have a cluttered desk. It's just like, no, I can't. It's just, I'm not processing anything in a clutter. But what we can do, if we said, okay, the first step, we will look after it, we will fix step by step, be grateful. And then what can we do, like take it to the like kind of like next level, when we, you know, now Christmas are coming, we have an extra Christmas tree in the room, which, you know, like, where are we gonna put it, because it's gonna be blocking everything, or, you know, and my complete nightmare is air dryer for the clothes air dryer.
Oh, the clothes dryer. Yeah, the clothes. Oh yeah,
my god, this is my biggest nightmare. I can't stand it in a room, because no matter where I put it, is wrong. You know, but what now? What we can do in terms of, okay, now we have all the extra people in the house because of the Christmas tree, the presents. You know, the stress. Like, what can we
do? Don't stress and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just don't stress. Just like the Christmas tree is not permanent. It's only a temporary thing. And it's like, oh my God, it's only a temporary thing. It's not bad feng shui, a Christmas tree, like having your friends and your family around. Like, I would be like, just enjoy the time rather than overthinking about it being bad feng shui. Like, it's this is a special time of the year that you get to have people around, that you get to have a Christmas tree up. And, you know, I'm sure there's some houses that would love to have a Christmas tree and they can't have one, or they can't afford it, you know? So it's like, you have a Christmas tree, you have your things, enjoy it, because it's only for a short time. And I think that for me, when it comes to coming into your home, you know, like the clothes rail, like, that's not bad feng shui.
Yeah.
Like, no. it's just going to be, the energy is just going to change. Like, you know, it's like a functional thing. So it's like the bin, the clothesline, like the children's toys all over the playroom, you know, the dishes on the lawn, on the counter, or the laundry bin overflowing. Like, that's just life. And I don't consider those things bad feng shui. If I came to someone's house, I would be like, oh, okay, fine. You haven't got to fill the dishwasher yet today. That's okay. It's not bad feng shui, because those things are the things that are changing. So you know that the clothes is going to be taken down, you're going to put it all away, the clothes where it's going to get put away. So does the children's toys, the, you know, everything. As long as it's all moving, that's life. That's just movement. And the Christmas tree and all of that is just flow. It's just a season. So it's like a short season. When it comes to, from a feng shui perspective, what I'm more concerned about would be the places that are not moving, where the energy hasn't been moved. So say you all moved in, you moved into your house 2 years ago, and you had all these boxes from your old house and they went straight to the attic and they haven't been touched in 2 years, 10 years, 30 years. That's what I would be saying, go clear that out. Because feng shui is about flow, it's about harmony, it's about balance. So if you've got boxes of things accumulated for years in your attic, in your cupboard, in your garage, that's creating stagnancy. So there's no flow in the home. So things like the, you know, the playroom with the kids' toys, or the dishes, like, they're always going to get washed. Like, okay. And, you know, my husband and I were just chatting about it this year, because we live in Greece for the summer and we travel a lot. And we were just saying this, we were talking about, like, we've noticed in our house how we've just made a commitment to keep our kitchen counter clean as possible. And just to, you know, fill the dishwasher and create a little system for the two of us. And there's just the two of us and our dog, but it's amazing how it could just, like, spread out. And I can see the same, like, I can't even imagine it with children and a family and all of that. But we just noticed this year that with that commitment to, like, it's amazing because the rest of the house seems to stay tidy because we just commit to the kitchen. So before I go to bed at night, I just make sure the kitchen counter is clean. And then in the after, we just continue just keeping it. And it's like, it's almost like filtered to the rest of the house. I'm like, I can't believe how it's staying tidier. And it was just like a conscious effort that we've made to not let it go over. But I still don't get stressed out by it and don't allow myself to be like, oh, this is bad feng shui. Like, there's 100 million other things that would be bad feng shui. And I think this is the thing that people, like, are sweating the stuff that's not actually bad feng shui and allowing it to bother them, as opposed to being like, okay, like, I know that's fine. But go to the cupboard where you haven't opened or you're scared to open for 6 months or you haven't touched. And there's where there's definitely something that's going to be blocking the flow of energy in your life. So I would be highly recommending you, you know, if you are going to be packing up your Christmas decorations, going up to the attic, bring up your Christmas decorations and take everything else down that hasn't been touched in a few months. In the new year, and just get rid of it. You know, just get rid. Just if you haven't looked at it, you haven't opened that box, just say goodbye. You know, we don't need that. Like, it's clogging up your attic, which is also your head. Like, it's the mirror of your head. So it's like literally clogging up your mind. There's something there that's just like a burden on your shoulders from the attic. And, you know, the cupboards, drawers, there's space to create space for new things in your life. And that's something that I think is an amazing opportunity for people to do.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh, thank you. Because I was definitely a great example of misunderstanding feng shui, or like just like, oh, this is, you know, this is blocking energy. I'm like, no, it's just life, but this is actually blocking energy. Mm-hmm. When you mention like bad feng shui, what do you mean by that? Or like, can you give us like quick examples or the, you know, the most common blockages for energy part of the attic?
So one of the things is when it comes to like bad feng shui, like I don't you know, when I walk into someone's house, it's not, or when I work, I don't walk into people's houses now, we do everything virtually. But when we analyze people's houses, it's nothing actually to do with the aesthetics of the house. Like, so it's not like I can walk in, we walk in and go, and tune in. It's essentially taking the reading of the house, of the year it's built, the size of it, the direction that it's facing, the cycle that it's in, like the shape of it. So there's a lot of like complex analysis that goes into analyzing what is good or bad feng shui. And this is all it's all invisible energy. So this is where feng shui is often completely misunderstood, because we think that it's, I come in and I see something and I'm like, that's bad feng shui. Yes, there are things that I can visually see, but even just from here, I could do your report, look at your house and be like, oh, okay, that's why your kids are fighting all the time. This is why, this is why your partner haven't spoken, or he's, you know, having difficulty in his career, or why you haven't got a promotion at work. I can see all of that based on the information that the house tells me. I don't need to see your house for that. And this is, it's like doing an astrology reading for a house, like an astro chart for a house. So that's what we do when we feng shui people's houses, and analyze that and then give the balancing elements to balance it. So it's just like an acupuncturist. Basically, we take the analysis of the house, check what's going on, and then be like, oh, the reason why you're this in your heart is because of this lineage, this, you know, meridian here. So it's very much energetic as opposed to aesthetic. So what I really, you know, and does that mean you can't, there's things that aesthetically in a house could be impacting feng shui or could be bad feng shui? Yes. But I also like to just make sure that people know that it's not just aesthetic. So even if you had an empty house with nothing in it, it could still have bad feng shui. So that's just really important to realize and know that the depth of this practice is just beyond kind of like decluttering. So that's important. But from a you know, aesthetic, or from people today, what else could you do? I would say just start at your front door. You know, it's the mouth of your house. It's where the energy comes in. Make sure it's nice and clean. Make sure it's welcoming. You know, this is where, if you're thinking about your own mouth, you know, if you feed your house with junk food and your body with junk food, then you definitely need some acupuncture and some help, and you need to stop, you know. So the first thing I say to people is just like, be mindful of what you're bringing in. You know, what are you buying? You know, you're talking about like this, you know, fast fashion, you know, What are you buying? Why are you bringing stuff in? Do you need more stuff? Probably not. You probably have actually way more than you need. So like, close the door on new things coming in and start to clear out from the inside out. Make sure the front door is welcoming and inviting. And then when you get into your house, I want you to kind of do an exercise called fresh eyes. So our houses are often decorated very unconsciously, sometimes consciously, like, you know, we'll pick something that resonates with us. But it's like artwork, for example, is a big one for me. I see a lot of clients with art that is not like resonant with where they want to go. Like, you can use your home to be a vision board for your future. You can use your home to support you to thrive, and you can use your home, use the artwork on your home to even like anchor in all new beginnings, you know. So what's the artwork on your walls? What does it represent? And, you know, is it uplifting? You know, do you walk in and see like a picture of, I don't know, a miserable woman, like that looks really miserable on the wall, you know? Or is it just a beautiful, happy sun field of sunflowers that feels uplifting and bright and colorful and vibrant? You know, every single thing in your home has an energy. And, you know, who bought the picture? What does it represent? You know, here in my wall behind me, I have like different images. Each, actually, they're all presents from different people who mean a lot to me in my world, and their gifts, and they mean a lot to me. And they, you know, if someone looked at this picture with the little clouds and the hummingbirds in it, they're never going to know that that was a gift from a dear client, or that the picture behind me was bought by my dad on a trip to Italy that like means the world to me. Like, there's an energy to everything in your house. And does it make your heart expand? Or is it like, oh, I don't even know why I have that. God, I hate that. Oh, like, no wonder I'm feeling a bit depressed. I have all these pictures of dead singers on my walls, you know? Yeah. And that's a true story. A client who was depressed had all of those 27-year-old singers who die, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse, on the wall. You know, and we can laugh, but honestly, I've seen a lot of places with pictures of Amy Winehouse on the wall, and people who had a lot of difficulty in their lives, and then they have a picture of them in the wall. I'm like, okay, I don't know about that. Like, do you know the backstory of that person? Do you, is that what's the resonance there?
Yeah, that's definitely, oh, you don't put a, whatever, the 27 club or whatever, you know, the oldest famous people who died, that age, like, they died quite horribly. I don't know, or they had a horrible life. You don't put them. Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, no. I'm really, it's interesting when you're talking about art, because we don't have much art in the house, because I'm kind of like, what do I do? What do I put? You know, at this point, I'm just like, I don't want to waste money on just some posters or a cheap, you know, cheap paintings or prints. I was like, what do I put? And maybe end up kind of like with the white walls because I just like, I don't know. You know, I'm now in a kind of way of maybe kind of looking into spirituality. What do I want? What I feel, you know, and I just kind of like, until I kind of figure it out or start feeling something, some kind of energies or something will speak to me, like your art behind you. I'm not buying anything.
And like, that's okay not to buy anything, but I can give some guidelines of specific pieces of art or things that are useful to look for when it comes to art. You know, if you have a family, you know, in their living room, have a picture of your family together on a really happy day. You know, that anchors in that sense of like us all together. Doesn't need to be an amazing portrait, just like a selfie that you all had a great time out together, like print it up, you know, anchor in, pause that kind of energy of you all together and happy as a family. You know, in the bedroom, have an image of yourself and your partner on a day that was great. It doesn't necessarily need to be the perfect wedding picture, but a picture that represents that. Or, you know, if you're single and you want to call in love, bring in an image of a couple in, do doing something that you want to be doing. Maybe you want to be walking, holding hands on a beach or in Paris or where, you know, like what's the image that you want or what's the kind of vibe that you want in that space? You know, I don't recommend spiritual images in the bedroom because that's not a, you know, it's actually like a little bit disrespectful. You don't want them watching when you're in bed. You don't want your family or your children or pictures of your friends in your bedroom, you know, but you can bring artwork that just, you know, into your bedroom that's like a couple or reflects that kind of like couple energy. You know, in your home, you could have places that you want to go to. You know, I had a client who really wanted to live in the US and she loved California. And of course, so she kind of got like lots of imagery of, you know, palm trees and Venice Beach and all these beautiful images. And of course, she just got her US visa. She's now living in America, you know. And it's like the energy of like, well, what are you creating and how do you want to feel in life? You know, I have lots of art in our home that's of places that I love, but also of nature, of flowers, of trees, you know, just, you know, beautiful different pieces that like represent something to me. And nobody, you know, that's where art is very subjective, you know, so you can find a piece that resonates with you and that it really sings to you, you know, enjoy it.
That's beautiful. I love it. It just, you made me laugh so much about the, you know, spiritual pictures in the bedroom. And I just thought about all the grandparents and everyone, they had a set all the saints above.
Oh yeah, the holy people. Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, and even when I go to Italy, we stay in a lovely guest house on our way down to Greece, and they have all of the pictures, and I'm just like, oh, you know what? Like, it's a different era, you know, and it's a different generation. But I think that, you know, when it comes to like art and to our homes, it's just becoming more conscious. Like you were saying, I don't want to just buy any old prints. I'm not adverse to prints. Like I couldn't afford art at the time, like expensive art at the time when we first started, you know, decorating our house. I've got like prints from IKEA. I've got paintings that I've commissioned, but it's all like a nuance, and you know, you evolve and grow, and it's not like that piece is stuck forever in your house. And you know, even there's a piece of art in like how I got so connected to art and the energy of it in our lives and homes was because something happened to me so crazy. I bought a piece of art. We were redecorating our bedroom, and I bought this piece of art that had like a picture of a couple. And I just reminded me of our first date. And I was like, perfect, we're going to have that in our bedroom. It's so cute. And a few weeks later, my friend came to visit, and she looked up and she's like, oh my God, there's Marley. And in the picture, like that had been in our bedroom for just a couple of weeks, was the couple, but the woman had a little dog on a lead. And I was like, oh my God. So it was the identical dog, like literally little black dog with a little tail, identical. And we'd ended up adopting that dog in the time of getting the picture. So that led me to this whole, and it just kind of brought us, even in our community and in my feng shui world with my members and my clients, we are just like so on it with our art because we're just like, be careful what's in your art. Like you're going to end up with it. And you know, what does it mean? So yeah, we ended up with the dog because of that. And it was just kind of unfolded. So be mindful. And this is something that you can start to feel a shift with very quickly, like changing the, clearing out the blocked areas, changing your relationship with your home, just starting to feel grateful for it, looking at the art and going, does this make me feel good? Like, does it make me feel good? Or is it just a shrine to my past? Because we can hold on to things that are just like not like helping us move forward.
No, I get that. I get that. Oh, the art is amazing. Oh, love it. Love it. But I was talking to you when we were briefly communicating before the podcast. I was asking you earlier, wanted to talk about, because I'm a stepmom, I have a now 13-year-old stepdaughter. But sometimes it's just like you end up like getting things from the other home, and not anymore. But there was like once a few times it was just like she brought a picture of her mom, and before she had her phone and her, you know, when she still was little. And sometimes I feel like, oh, this is like, is this something we can help us, you know, or is that does not even ventilate? That's just like get yourself sorted. But when you get something you don't want in your home or you don't feel right about it, is there something we can do, a part of hiding
I
or
suppose not. I suppose the thing is, if she uses it in her bedroom, like, and has it in, does she have her own room?
She shares now with her brother, but yeah, it's
I think that this is a dance, like, where, like, up until, like, you can ask her, does she want to keep it or not? Like, it's not necessarily bad feng shui. It's more just how you see it and how you view it. So I would say it's more your perspective, as opposed to, like, this is just her symbol of her love for her mom. It's not a bad thing. So I'd be like, you know, and then how much love you have for her to be able to say, oh yeah, that's okay, you can have that here. You know, we've had clients, like, I've had a client whose husband is a hunter and has, like, all these, like, bear heads and deer heads and dead animals, and she's like, what am I gonna do? And I'm like, you know, it's not ideal feng shui, but this is his passion. And I was like, okay, well, let's reframe them, as opposed to being like, this is his personal hobby, he loves it, and I was like, what has he done for you recently? And she's like, well, he completely renovated my whole office. And I'm like, look at how loving he is for you, and, like, this is a loving thing you can do for her. And you're just like, your way of expressing your love for your husband is through letting this up and not getting bugged by it, because it is your house as well, and it's the two of you, and that's his hobby, and that's it. So it's like, I think that's the way you have to kind of reframe it and be like, well, there's a, we can just come in, like, that's bad feng shui. Like, also, we have to live with the people, and we have to love them and accept them. And then what I've seen over the years has been interesting. Like, I've had clients whose husbands have had swords and daggers and all of this, and, you know, it's not ideal. Like, they're aggressive things. And we've seen, as they've put in their remedies, as the ladies have changed the energy, those things have just been taken down, replaced with other things, and swapped out. So that's always been so amazing for me, because I've seen big shifts, and it's not through force, but it's more through love.
I love that. I love that because sometimes we can take, Marie Kondo or someone like, oh, there's a ex kind of like reason to get rid of something or dislike something instead of, like you said, you shift the perspective or you shift that. Okay, well, that's not ideal. Like, I wouldn't like to have a dead animals hanging around, but at the same time, like, he did my office, so I can just go and be made in my office. So it's really, yeah, if they like the picture of her mom, it's like, okay, can you keep it? You can keep it. Can you put it in the drawer when you go home? So, like making adjustments and shifting the energy. I love the shifting the energy because I can see myself, if I would start going into feng shui, I will be like, no, this has to go, this has to go. And I could go really quickly to the mistakes, that we all do at the beginning. And I could maybe use it as excuse or you just misunderstood of the practice and the symbol of it and just going into slippery road of like, yeah, when I don't understand, we make mistake. And but I love that. I love that like it's not about the new house. It's not about the new, having Pinterest looking house. It's about looking into the energy, looking into what, how the thing speaks to me. Because like you said, you can go to charity shop and find a painting tomorrow, which I will absolutely love. And I'm like, yeah, it's going on the wall here. After years and years of having white walls, because it's just like, we're gonna put on. And I love the meanings behind it. Is there any tips you would give to someone? Like, obviously, where we can find you, and is there anything like we can start, how we can start with feng shui if we wanted to?
Yeah, for sure. So, I'm at patricialohan.com, and there I have an amazing resource called Feng Shui 101. It's a mini course, and it basically guides you through, like, what feng shui is, how it works, how to discover, like, the type of feng shui that's going on in your house, what's great, what's, you know, what's out of balance, and that there's an amazing guide that comes with it that kind of gives you some things you can do for each area of your home. So that's an amazing resource. I also have other resources, like, for your best color for your wallet, for your feng shui in your office, and feng shui for abundance. But patricialohan.com and my mini course is where I kind of guide people to check out first, because it is just a really good introduction. If this felt good, there's lots of other things that you get to learn and to do through it.
Oh, brilliant. And I do like your podcast. I started listening to your podcast episode, and you have a really good content on social media as well. So I will be adding links how to find you in the description.
Thank you.
Just, I think it's really nice to just step by step learning more and more about this amazing practice. Is it practice?
Yeah, a practice.
Yeah. Practice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a practice, becoming more conscious of your environment. It definitely is a practice. And enjoying it.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, thank you for your time and being
You're
here.
You're so welcome.
And I'll have to talk to you soon.
Thanks a million.